Investors exhale. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's been a rocky week, one of the worst and most volatile in a while. The markets are up this morning in the U.S. and Europe. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. Hey, Chris.
David.
So we're seeing a bit of calm. Markets have been up in Europe most of the day here. As you've processed what's been going on this week, what do you attribute it to?
Well, an awful lot of things. We had bad data out of both China and Europe. The IMF revised its global forecast downward. They boosted the odds of a recession in Europe to 38%. So there's this fear of global slowdown. And of course, we had some pretty ugly data here as well. Retail sales in September down more than expected. And a fear that consumer confidence is shaken.
So that's the bad data. We did get some good data, some good employment data yesterday, industrial production as well, and then today, information on the housing market.
Well, that's right. And we heard from Janet Yellen, too, at least indirectly. You know, she reminded people the data have been mixed. They've been mixed for a while, but the Fed is confident we're still on track for 3% growth. And today, a 6% increase in housing starts is a reminder it's not all bleak.
Chris Lowe's chief economist at FTN Financial. Chris, thanks so much.
You're welcome, David. Have a great weekend.
Janet Yellen just wrapped up a speech, her first public comment since an IMF event that Chris just mentioned. Investors were holding out hope they'd get some assurance from the head of the Fed, maybe a comment on all that market volatility. Well, that didn't happen. Yellen stuck to her script and kept the focus on income inequality. One more thing on the subject of Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve. Congress sets her salary. It's just over $200,000 a year. Well, Reuters requested some documents and discovered there are more than 100 Fed employees who make more money than their boss. As two U.S. healthcare workers who have contracted Ebola continue to receive treatment, several dozen politicians have called for a ban on travel from West African nations stricken by the disease. That chorus grew louder this week, loud enough that during some intense questioning yesterday at a hearing on Capitol Hill, the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had to remind lawmakers the CDC does not issue travel visas. Politics aside, there are many Americans who say they'd support some kind of travel ban. Kate Davidson reports.
It all comes down to what you actually mean when you talk about a travel ban. Aid organizations say it's crucial that commercial airlines keep flying to West Africa. That's how volunteer doctors and nurses get there.
These people are not there for the duration of the epidemic.
Gilbert Burnham with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health says many stay a month or 6 weeks.
And then they're likely to rotate out and other people rotate in.
Plus, logistically, it may seem simple to just cancel incoming flights. But right now, there are no direct flights to the U.S. from Sierra Leone, Guinea, or Liberia. Transportation policy expert Kenneth Button says it can be harder to track people who fly indirectly.
Because they could actually buy a separate ticket from Guinea or Sierra Leone to Paris and then have a separate ticket from Paris to the United States.
That's why some lawmakers want to suspend visas for non-U.S. citizens traveling from Ebola-affected countries until the outbreak is contained. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
This weekend marks the 30th anniversary of the National Organ Transplant Act, which banned the sale of organs. Today, there are more than 120,000 people waiting for a transplant, and that's led a bioethicist to call for changes to the law. Nova Safo has more.
When Sigrid Fry Revere wanted to donate a kidney to an ailing friend, she had a dilemma. She'd need to hire someone to work her farm in Virginia while she recovered from surgery.
And my recipient was wealthy enough to pay $8,000 for a farmhand, but it was against the law for him to do that.
Against the law, because that would have seemed like she was getting paid up front to donate her kidney. In the end, her friend died waiting on the transplant list. Fry Revere's idea is to decrease the number of people waiting for a kidney transplant by increasing the number of people willing to donate one.
What I think we should do is do a better job of paying donors' expenses and paying them up front.
Fry Revere would give organ donors up to $14,000 for things such as taking time off work, childcare, and transportation.
We have patients that have trouble coming to clinic because they can't afford the gas.
That's Dr. Stephen Paston. He oversees the care of kidney and pancreas patients at the Emory Transplant Center in Atlanta.
And unfortunately, financial barriers particularly for socioeconomically disadvantaged people, often play a large role in them not being able to become kidney donors.
But paying donors up front raises ethical questions for Troy Zimmerman. He's with the National Kidney Foundation.
But if it has any appearances of being an incentive to donate, then that is something the Kidney Foundation is very much opposed to.
Because, he says, that could lead some to take advantage of the poor. Fry Revere is undeterred, though. She says the current system has led to a perverse inequality, where transplant patients with financial means are better off.
Because the system does allow recipients to reimburse donors' travel, lodging, and lost wages, but that assumes a rich recipient, right?
Fry Revere says she'll work to change the law when Congress reconvenes after the midterm elections. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
When your cell phone is in your pocket and accidentally calls someone, that's known as a pocket dial. Butt dial may be the scientific term. Anyway, a member of the Federal Communications Commission says this is a huge issue for 911 call centers. We call 911 accidentally 84 million times a year. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.